Welcome, everybody, to episode 7 of Ours is the Fury podcast. We're pretty damn happy this week. The Ottawa Fury went to Indianapolis and got a win against the Indy on the road. 4-2 was the final score. How does everyone feel about the win?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm pretty happy. Second time this year we scored 4 goals.
First away win ever.
Yeah, first away point.
It was a pretty strong effort. I thought it was really great. I was pretty excited.
So, Blocksmith, did you go to the Heart and Crown to watch the game?
No, I stayed at home because I have no life.
Right.
So, Kendra and Ryan, where did you guys watch the game?
We watched it at home because we were camping out in the cold.
We were freezing our butts off.
Yeah, I also watched it on delay because I was away in rural Quebec. And once again, the stream was pretty damn terrible. It was very laggy. Hard to make out the players. The commentary was absolutely appalling.
At some points, it just paused for no apparent reason, and we couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah, it was, like, choppy. Like, as if you were watching it, like, live on, like, a shitty, like, free streaming website.
Yeah, well, that's NASL Live. Live with it, you guys. Like, it's not going to change until next year. Hopefully it does change next year, but I think we're stuck with it for this year.
It was better live, but not by much.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, and the commentary was quite interesting as well in the game, eh? Like, when the commentators yell for things that they want to see rather than the actual events, like in the later stage of the game, one of the commentators was like, "Penalty for Indy!" Not. Okay.
Yeah, there were times when he was cheering the Indy on, like, "Come on, get it there, come on, pass it." It was just, it was terrible.
Well, but to be fair, like, only Indy people are watching, and then the only Fury fans watching.
Okay,
on the
Ryan,
team,
then explain me this. If only Indy people watch this game, why did they have a representative of the Indianapolis Tourism Authority talk for 20 minutes about the wonderful tourism opportunities in the city, including their culinary tourism? And
yeah, it sounds very interesting.
The Indiana Pacers. And
we should head down there. Did you know it's their sixth biggest employer in Indiana is tourism?
Yeah, I think it was 160,000 people are employed in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone else, it's but I think that has a lot to do with the Indy 500. But
yeah, but you know, we do have to admit we're probably just kind of jealous because of their fan turnout that they're getting. We're not jealous about the quality of the soccer they're playing, that's for sure. But
no.
But still, I think the Fury can learn quite a few things.
I think they should put our team in their city. Because those fans deserve a good soccer team. And we have a good soccer team. And, yeah, I feel really bad for them. I think the Indy 11 are maybe USL 2 quality.
No, at least their defense. Like, they scored some. Like, that one goal that they scored out of play was quite nice. And they were missing their best player, Kleberson, right? Who usually does all their corners and free kicks and links up the play nicely.
Yeah. He's German.
No, he's not. He's Brazilian.
Oh, he's Brazilian. Oh. Usually the best.
They have a German. That's Christian Nicht, the goalkeeper.
Yes. Das Boot, as their fans, the Brickyard Battalion.
Yeah. By the way, that's actually very culturally offensive, you know, to just, you know, associate Germans with, you know, World War II and nothing else. But okay.
Well, you associated the Irish with drinking last week. And
yeah, but that's a fact. That's not a stereotype.
And I was offended, and you just re-offended me.
It's all good. Yeah, but, I mean, the Fury went with the exact same lineup as they did last week. No changes there. And we'd have definite proof that Dos Santos is listening to our podcast. Mm-hmm. We told him to
put Giroud in on the corners.
Yeah, and he promptly scored a header. We told him that Donatelli cannot be taken out of the team, and he promptly scored two goals.
Yeah, two wonderful, two beautiful goals.
So now, you know, if you could get Messi to Ottawa, Dos Santos, that would be great. You know?
When I heard, speaking of player movement, I heard they're doing some changes, like, before the break or maybe at the break. There was an article today that Chris put in the Sun about... No, it was actually in the Citizen, sorry, Richard's article in the Citizen, saying that they're looking for a speedy center back. Which is interesting. You think you'd want a speedy guy on the flanks, like off the sides, but.
Well, that's like a direct criticism of Giroud because he is a slow center back, right? Like he's always been sort of out of position, and we've criticized him for that in the past. So maybe they just want to have that alternative on the bench.
Yeah, well, there was also another article where Dos Santos said Giroud is starting to look like the player they hoped he would be when they signed him, like that wording. So,
yeah, but it doesn't matter too much for the rest of the spring season because Omar Giroud, of course, got called up by the Palestine national team to play, I think, in the Maldives, was it?
Yeah, it's Asian Cup, whatever it is, some sort of Asian Cup.
It's a non-FIFA-sanctioned tournament of some sort that I've never heard of.
Yeah, so he's going to be missing the next 2 weeks for sure. He might make the last road game there
in New York. Either way, that's great for him, and hopefully he'll do well. And it's always good to have national team players, whether or not they're FIFA-sanctioned countries or not. It doesn't really matter there. To me, they're national team players.
Yeah, that's a big blow for them, though. Like on defense, there's not a lot of center backs. I mean, I'm assuming that Trafford's always going to be in there. I'm assuming they're going to move Becky in there. Becky's on two yellows. If he gets another yellow, he's out. I think Soria might be able to play center back, and that's it.
So who's our number five defender? Like, if we lose one, who comes in?
Well, I'm assuming Becky comes in the center back. Forsenga goes out on the right.
Okay, Forsenga.
Soria is probably now your third center back, and then Maycon or Soria. Or yeah.
So this Maycon really... clearly highlights that we do need another center back. So
and we got one on trial right now.
Yeah.
So one of the players on trial is, of course, Ubi Poro which is brother, younger brother. But do we know anything about him?
Yes, Lovisa Ubi Paripovich played at Cleveland State.
In the PDL, I assume?
No, college.
No, college.
Oh, okay.
And he had a short trial with the Red Bulls New York.
Yeah, and he played.
Who since y'all's?
Yeah, he played PDL for Cleveland as well, but the team folded in 2010, 2008. 2010, the team folded. So,
well, hopefully he'll be good enough to make the team. It'll be great to have those two brothers in the same squad. I'm a little bit worried. What if he doesn't make the team? Yeah, you know, Ubi might be really pissed off if his brother doesn't get to join the team. Right, it might not be good for chemistry between the player and the coach.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, not too worried. And I think we...
I think he's more of a forward. I think he's probably more suited for that wing.
No, I know. I'm not saying positionally. I'm just saying, like, the brother would be pissed if his little brother didn't make it.
And he can score some goals. He was in indoor, you know, and Donatelli's from the major indoor soccer league as well, so... don't discriminate against those indoor players.
And Donatelli had, of course, two goals. He faked the defender with the same trick on each goal, but it was beautiful. I mean, I can watch that all day long.
Yeah. So is this guy, Ubi's, is he a younger Ubi or is he an older Ubi?
He's a younger Ubi.
A younger Ubi. So little Ubi, we'll call him.
But he was actually the top scorer on his indoor team, which was
Syracuse
Silver Knights. And so that's great. And he plays forward, so hopefully we can get some more scoring chances that way.
Yeah.
If he makes it.
Yeah, and indoor you can get multiple points for one goal.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a very exciting league. But the major, as you sent me a link this week, that the major indoor soccer league's no more and it's merging with another league.
Yeah, it's actually very funny because the Mexican and the American market. They're merging. They created this new league, and the name escapes me. But they have a team that's, and I looked at the team list, and one of them says Ontario Fury, brackets CA,
California.
Yeah, so it's Ontario California Fury. Which I thought it was kind of funny.
But I've seen that before. They have their colors are red, black, and white, and it's literally a carbon copy.
It's like the Arsenal of South America to the Arsenal of England.
Yeah. It's, you think they could pick a different name, being from Ontario, California. The Ontario Fury. But I'm sure everyone who's ever done a Google search on the Ottawa Fury has come across this other team. And yeah, they're not related, as far as we know, at all. So we should probably dive into what happened in the game, eh?
Yeah, so if my memory serves correctly, the Fury went up. They went up 1-0. And yep. Was it Jarun that scored the first one or Donatelli?
No, it was Donatelli.
Okay, Donatelli scored the first one with that fancy trick.
Beautiful, beautiful goal.
It was a cutback. It wasn't really fancy, but.
But it threw the defender off. I guess it's enough for an indie defender.
Yeah, that defender went flying. He made his decision and flew one way.
Yeah, I'm surprised he beat the keeper, too, though. He was pretty far out. Like, he's, I don't know, a few meters from the top of the box outside.
I was surprised seeing where the shot went that he beat the keeper.
Yeah.
Unless the keeper just didn't see it. Or
didn't expect it at all. Yeah.
And then, of course, Indy came back with a penalty to make it 1-1. I guess it was a deserved penalty, right?
Yeah, it was embellished a little bit, but...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Trafford was really late on a tackle, and the other player tripped over him, and he flew a little.
What bothered me a little bit was the commentary when he was, like, saying, oh, he really sold this foul well, he did well to get this, like, you know... If a player gets fouled and they get a penalty for it, that's fine. But don't encourage people selling the foul or like, you know, put value on the way how you got the foul. Like, that's exactly what is wrong with the modern game. I just don't like it.
Yeah, well, they say that's the problem with Canadian soccer, though, is that we don't play those tactics. We don't play those. And, like, I personally don't like those tactics, but...
That would be an interesting philosophical discussion for another pod. If Canada, you know, should play dirtier and if that makes us more successful, or if we should stay true to our nature and not play dirty and not be successful.
But at the same time, later on in the game, Trafford, when he was picking the ball out of the net, pretended to get, like, punched in the face when he didn't even get touched.
Yeah, that was a little lame.
Yeah, so if you're listening, Trafford... Dude, that ain't cool. But yeah,
we love you.
But yeah, so it was tied 1-1, and then there was Jeroen's header, right? The second goal.
Very nice.
Off a corner, right?
Yep.
So what were you saying last week that only 5% of corners turn into goals? Well, this is the 1 out of 20.
Well, then so sometime in the fall we'll be up for the next. Goal from a corner.
19 corners from now will be a goal.
Yeah, he scored it on a near post.
Yeah.
I guess the indie guy marking that post left as soon as the ball was kicked.
Yeah.
And it just went right where he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But we have to give credit to Jarun. That was a very nice flick on, and he hit it in well. Once again, the commentary was so silly. Like, they didn't credit Jarun with the goal right away. Like, in the 60th minute or so, the commentators were like, by the way, we have just received confirmation that Omar Jarun was, in fact, the goal scorer. Like, there was no controversy. Like, there was no question that this was his goal.
Yeah, and during the play-by-play, they hardly said the names of the Fury players. And even one time, they're like, well, I think it was a guest in the booth, but he's like, that number 5 out there.
Yeah. Well, at least they looked at the numbers, but I was thinking, you know, okay, we're amateurs, we don't really know the players of the opposing teams that well, but if you're a color commentator and this is your job, at least, like, have a list of the players and their numbers so you can talk about the players and address them.
Yeah, and learn how to say their names. Like, I know we say some names wrong.
Don't point fingers.
But yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know what anybody was. They weren't saying anyone's names. They were just... I think one point said Jarun was a midfielder.
Yeah.
They knew who Becky was. Yeah. I don't think they mentioned Richie Ryan once. they got people confused.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know, they're an expansion team. You gotta give them some breaks. That's the excuse. When it's an expansion team. Oh, don't worry. It's an expansion team. Oh, no, no, it'll be better later on. It's an expansion team.
So, actually, we had a listener question from Namu, and he wanted us to speak a little bit more about why the Indie are so successful in bringing people in as compared to Ottawa.
They've been at it for a couple of years, advertising. Apparently the Brickyard Battalion have 2,000 members. They've been hardcore after it last 2 years.
I read today on the Voyageurs forum that they give out free beer to anyone who is of legal drinking age. So obviously that will draw a lot of people. And their ticket prices, as we discussed last week, is $10. So it's basically $10 all you can drink.
Starts at 10, okay. Goes to 30. Yeah, it's in between $10 and $30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? They give away free beer?
Yeah.
How far is Indianapolis from Ottawa? It's a day's drive, right?
You know I'm terrible with my U.S. geography.
Yeah.
If we didn't conquer it, I don't know it.
Yeah. So Namu's question is, what are they doing right kind of thing in Indianapolis? I think.
Yeah, he just wants to discuss in more detail, I guess.
I think they treat the team like they would any other pro team. It's not, it's not being treated like a minor league team. They you know, Honda's their sponsor. They had the kits out early. They're all over the newspaper. There, the Indy Star. They've really, really done well, getting the name out there.
And even though their new stadium plans didn't go through, I think their current stadium is actually pretty conducive to a good match. I find they're close. They have, some sections where there's, a track and field thing, but other than that, it fits quite a few people, and it's close to the match. I think it's a pretty good stadium, as compared to other NASL teams.
Yeah, I question their sellout. They sold out 10,200, and then, a couple weeks ago, they sold out 10,500. It's like, well, what's... they have a different number for their sellout crowd every week. That's
But it's still undeniable that they're attracting a lot of people to a new team.
Yeah.
They just got out there and they marketed very well, and they had events for supporters. And when they signed, I think the first few guys, they had a big event.
They signed a lot of local guys too.
Yeah.
And they signed a lot of college players. From Indiana. I think that's hurt their team. Their team looks horrible. But it's probably a huge connection. And that's something, once you got all those people attached to the team, you can get better players in and keep the one or two that work out or whatever.
Yeah, once you get that money in, you got more money to spend.
And
decent players.
Yeah, and I think one of the guys was one of the guys that started the Chicago Fire, was part of the team.
He's the president, right?
Yeah, that was when Chicago Fire started.
Yeah, Peter Wilt.
So,
yeah.
They got some experience there, starting a new club and everything. So.
And we have a comment from @Drew in Ottawa as well. His real name is Andrew. He thinks that the Ottawa Fury marketing department, or whoever is responsible for marketing, is really missing an opportunity to take advantage of the fact that we're in a World Cup year. And that they aren't doing viewing events or.
There could be so much more cross marketing, and even just visibility. I talk to people all the time that love soccer, and they have no idea that the team exists. And just putting up posters would help, I think. World Cup, have viewing parties, have players there, have events, do something with this, and it'll catch on from there. But so far, nothing.
Something from my personal experiences is I have a lot of soccer friends, but a lot of them are Euro snobs. It's an issue for me. I'm trying to get people into the stadium, but they think, why would they go? Literally one of them said, it might be fun for a laugh. You know? It is tough to convince people, even people that are into soccer, to come to the stadium.
I've come across a new breed, the MLS snob. Guy in an Impact jersey or a TFC shirt, or even a guy I was talking to last week in an LA Galaxy jersey, be like, why would I want to watch this sub-league? And yeah. I was like, you watch the MLS.
We all know that the difference, with the exception of a few designated players, really isn't that high, as Edmonton has proved by, you know, basically beating Montreal before they were cheated out of it.
Which is something I want to go into in detail a little later in the pod. We should go over that game a little bit.
Yeah, maybe let's finish the discussion of the Indy game, and then we can take a break, and then we can definitely get into that as yeah. well.
So, it's the Indy game. There's 5 goals in the first half. So, Drouin's header was the second goal for us.
Right.
It's 2-1 Ottawa. And then, I don't know if we scored, went up. Yeah, we went up 3-1, then they scored their second goal in the 46 or 44.
Yeah, Donatelli scored the Fury's third goal. A really nice play, cut back again.
Same
and then
trick.
Left foot.
Yeah.
Top of the net.
And he's left no like he's left footed, right?
Yes.
He looks left footed to me.
I read that. I can confirm.
You read that he's
left footed. He's left footed, yes.
And Oliver Minato scored the fourth goal, and that was just from a really nice play. I remember when he scored it, I actually didn't know who scored it. Like I had to look it up later on in the stats. Yeah. Blocksmith, how did that goal?
Yeah, Richie Ryan had saw Hayworth on the right. He delivered this wonderful pass to him on the right. And Hayworth was one-on-one with the defender. And it looked like it was kind of the angle was kind of weird, but it looked like he put kind of some kind of move on him and put the ball through his legs and turned him and
hypnotized.
Found Oliver, basically just banked it off Oliver into the net.
Who a little bit later was then subbed off for Maicon to sort of.
Brazilian for Brazil.
Yes. Although one is Brazilian German, apparently. Oh. Oliver Minatel has a German passport. Yeah. No, but he's a Brazilian. Who are we kidding? But yeah, that was a good substitution, I think, to just, you know, keep the score and hold on to the win.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I think they won the game early on. Like, in the course of the first 20, Dos Santos said they won the game in the first 20, and I believe that as well. I found the Fury just shut off in the 65th, 70th minute. They just shut off. They could have ran up the score. I've watched the Fury, like, all the preseason games, even a couple, like, even one of the road preseason games, and I've never seen them just take the ball and walk through defenders like they did with Indy. Like, they made Indy look, well, Indy's not a very good team. Like, there's no comparing these two teams. Everyone's comparing these two teams. They're not the same at all.
No, they got, Ottawa just creamed them in the midfield. They couldn't get the ball away from them, and Richie Ryan and Donatelli and Ubi Perapovich were just, had all kinds of space, and they were all, lots of time to find people open. And
we were doing ridiculous passes, like in the midfield all the way across the mm-hmm. field through, like, 5 players. I've never seen Ottawa do that before either. And like, it wasn't because we're super talented. It was just that Indy was that bad.
Yeah. They got a couple of good strikers in Eversley and the other guy, Bradley or whatever his name was. But
yeah. They got that dirty tackle by their star defender that I said was a dirty player last week, and he proved it. I was like, there it is, right there. That's the dirty play. And yeah, he's gonna be card trouble for them. And he actually was cut by the Honduran national team. He's not going to the World Cup. So, but the game ended what 4-2, Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean 4 goals in an away game. You can be pretty happy about that. And I think Dos Santos was happy. Like in the interview later on after the game, he did express his joy, and he said something what I thought was quite interesting. When they went into halftime, apparently the team was quite deflated because they had just conceded the 1-1, and but they were up 2-1, right? So they were up. It was 3-2.
It was
3-2 at halftime, and they had just conceded the second goal, and apparently they were all deflated, and in the change room, it felt like they were losing.
Yeah, some heads were down, he said.
Yeah, so I thought that was an interesting insight that. Even though they're winning 3-2 away, they're thinking they're not doing well.
That's a good mentality to have, though. You want a team to. But they did. I thought they put on the brakes, but maybe they're just tired from having to climb up into the stands to get to the dressing room. I don't know if you saw that at halftime. Yeah. That was pretty hilarious. I was like, oh, what a nice stadium they have. Oh, 10,000 seats, so quaint, perfect. And then I see the players climbing through the stands to get to the change room.
It was pretty. Not quite as nice as the portables at Carlton U.
Yeah, or seeing Minnesota United walk through the parking lot. Carlton U to get to the change room. But yeah, that will all change when we're in our new beautiful stadium. Soon, only 2 more games at Carlton.
That's right. So let's take this moment to put on some music and take a break. So last week was, of course, the semi-final, second leg games of the Voyagers Cup. And the first game was Montreal versus FC Edmonton, which we had a special interest in because that would have been, of course, the game that we would have been in had we beat the Eddies. Unfortunately, it wasn't us, but FC Edmonton, to be fair, put on a great show, and they should have won this game had it not been for an awful, awful refereeing decision. Ryan, how did you see it?
Yeah, the referee decision was the penalty that was called for Montreal in, I believe, what, the 96th minute? So it would have been tied on aggregate, and Edmonton had more away goals. So they would have won, moved on in the final against Toronto. But, yeah, so Montreal got a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty at all. They called a handball, and the player's hand was actually behind his back. And the ball hit him in his front. Mm-hmm. Didn't hit his hand at all.
Yeah, there's not a single person in the Twitterverse or anywhere else in this universe who actually thought that was a handball. Let alone the 6 minutes of additional time. Like, where did they come from?
I think Joey Saputo thought it was a handball.
You think he legitimately thought it was a handball?
Well, when he made the phone call, he said, make it a handball.
Perhaps.
But yeah, that's... In all the years of Voyagers Cup, that's the worst call I've seen. To be fair, though, the penalty that Edmonton got in the first half, the guy dove.
Yeah, it wasn't a real but that's penalty. One of those penalties you see given sometimes, and sometimes you don't. Like, it wasn't as outrageous at this like game-deciding penalty in the 6 minute of additional time for complete bullshit call.
Yeah, that was, you don't call it like. Your arms against your body or behind your back, it's going to hit your body. You're not, it didn't take a super advantageous bounce.
So what camp do you guys fall into? Is it is it just total incompetence or is it corruption?
Wow. That's pretty heavy. I'll let Blogsmith take that first step at that.
I'm going to go with incompetence.
Because there are some people, prominent people in the Canadian soccer community, and I would include Lord Bob in that field, and he had tickets to the Whitecaps game, yeah. And he decided not to go because he actually thinks he's being lied to. He thinks it's all a big show.
Yeah, he's saying stuff about WWE and stuff like that. And I'm by no means an FC Edmonton fan. I hope they do well. I hope all Canadian soccer clubs survive and, you know, help develop Canadian soccer. But I was pretty ticked off. If that was Ottawa that got ripped off like that, I'd be livid. I'd be, like, ripping seats out of Saputo or something. Like, it'd be a bad scene. So
not that we're suggesting that's something you should be doing.
No. Or boycott all Saputo dairy products.
Not that there's anything wrong with milk.
There's other options.
I was pretty mad, but I see it as kind of an incompetent ref. Like you said before, the penalty against...
It was a makeup call.
Penalty for Edmonton. Montreal was walking that game when they scored. Was it 3 goals they scored? 2, whatever.
No, 3-2 was the final.
Finals was 4-2, actually. But
so they scored 3 early goals, and then Edmonton came back.
Tied it on aggregate.
I think he just saw he was looking for that chance, and he got it, and that was... He was looking for a call.
So what makes me a little bit sad about that whole evening was what the conversation really should have been about. Should have been about Hansen Boakai again.
And how
he lit an MLS defense on fire as a 17-year-old. And that I think that was kind of lost in the whole frenzy after the match that he's really so far been the most outstanding player in the tournament.
Yeah, and credit to FC Edmonton as a whole for doing so well and actually being, like, they're the real winners there. They did really well. They proved that NASL clubs can compete. They're like our, what's the FC
they're
Cal?
They're waving our flag.
What was the American team that went on and on? FC Cal. And, yeah, they're kind of a fairy tale story. And I hope we'll have more of those if the Voyagers Cup ever opens up to have, you know, have the Quebec team leagues or League One Ontario or whatever if it opens
now,
up.
Now, the second game of the night has a little bit less relevance to us, but just for the sake of completion, let's talk about that game for a moment. It was Toronto against the Whitecaps. It went to extra time after a 2-1 win for Toronto at home and then a 2-1 loss in Vancouver. And Toronto basically scored all their penalties, and Vancouver botched all of theirs.
Yeah, went to penalties, but Vancouver had a... They, speaking of young players, wasn't their keeper like 17, 18 years old?
Kaducci or something? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, to be in that situation, like, good on him. And both teams played really well. Vancouver didn't put out their first team again. They played a lot of young players, but they...
Which is commendable. I mean...
Yeah. I don't blame Robo for doing that. As if I was a Whitecaps fan, I might be a little upset about that. What I thought was amazing, too, was the support by the Whitecaps fans. Really good crowd out, really loud. It's nice to see on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, not like Montreal.
Not like Montreal. Empty seats galore. Even their supporter section was like one-third what it normally is. That's... Because maybe they're actually hockey fans. Who knows? But the same night as a Habs game, by the way.
Yeah. That's tough to compete to. Like, just as an aside, I wanted to watch the German Cup final this weekend. And I was in rural Quebec, and I had to find a bar with Sportsnet World, for one, which is hard enough.
In Quebec, but too.
In Quebec. And it had to be during the Habs game, because it was...
It never happened.
No, I just listened to it on the radio. Yeah.
So in the final, we're going to have a Toronto-Montreal yet again, Voyagers Cup final. The first leg is going to be May 28th, and then the final leg is June 4th. So we'll have our champions that we send off to get destroyed by Mexican clubs. And then next year, what they're doing is they're taking the team with the best MLS record to send to Champions League. But at the same time, the qualifying for next year's will happen. So we'll still get to see Voyagers Cup games here in Ottawa next year, but it'll be for the 2017, right? Voyagers Cup. Or 2017 CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah. And those games will be played later in the season.
So, yeah. So, and that's kind of sad about Edmonton, too, because they don't get to qualify next year. They don't have the chance to qualify next year, and they got ripped off this year. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much more to say about that. Anything good to say at all. So,
all right. So let's move on to the next Fury home game. We have a doubleheader coming up. We're going to have the women's Ottawa Fury game play at our stadium at Carleton, our temporary stadium. Kendra, you're quite excited about this game, right?
I am. I think it's really encouraging that we have a women's team that's under the Fury brand. And we also have five Canadian players on that team who play for the national team. And I think it's going to be really great quality soccer. I am a little concerned about when we move into TD Place. Prior to us moving into our new home at Lansdowne, the women and the men will be playing doubleheaders at the same venue at Carleton University. However, when we move... for the start of the summer season, the women are then going to be playing at Algonquin while the men play at Lansdowne. So it doesn't really seem fair to me that we've got them playing together and then we kind of get this hype around the women's team and then all of a sudden they're separated. I don't know what the reasoning is for this, and it would be nice to know, but it just kind of seems like a ripoff.
Yeah, it's hard for me to comment on it and criticizing it because I don't know why they are playing at Algonquin College. It might have a good reason for it. But speaking about this particular Saturday, Actually, the game is during the Champions League final, the women's game, right?
Yeah, the women's game is at 3 o'clock, and the Champions League final, I believe...
The coverage begins at 2, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I believe it starts at 2:30.
So every soccer fan is going to want to watch the Champions League final, and so it's just not good timing. And they could have moved the game to like at 5 p.m. and have it just before the Fury game.
And have the men's game at 7:30.
Yeah, so, and why have two-hour break between the women's and the men's game? Like, what are you going to do for 2 hours at Carlton?
Yeah, it's not a real doubleheader. It's a game, 2 hours, and then another game.
Well, in baseball, like, with a doubleheader, you can buy tickets. Like, it's one ticket for both events, right? And this is two separate tickets.
Like, you're kidding.
Yeah, the W League ticket's $15. And then you gotta
totally
have your.
I totally just assumed, like, of course it was gonna be one ticket because how can you not sell it like that? Because it just makes total sense from
it's
marketing perspective. I never thought it was gonna be 2-7.
I wouldn't call it a doubleheader at all. The women's,
so for
the W League games
holders,
at 3.
I don't get to see the women's game.
No. No, you have to buy separate tickets.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I just think, again, it's an opportunity. Like, you have the Champions League final. Have the women's game, and then have the men's, like, right after. Keep those people buying hot dogs, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just seems like a no-brainer. I don't know, like...
And it's also a great way to develop the women's league in the city, like, to get it out there and get people excited about it and be visible. Because we have these great players and this great talent, and it's just not as visible as the men's. And I find that not fair.
Yeah, it would be great if... My ticket to the Fury game would have got me into that W League game.
Or your W League ticket got you into the Fury.
Yeah. So I could have watched the women's game, and if I liked it, I could have come back. And the women playing would have been playing in front of a much bigger crowd.
Traditionally,
the women's game in Ottawa has been quite popular. I mean, let's not forget that's how the Fury started.
Yeah, and they've been very, very competitive. They've won the championship almost every year. They didn't win last year. Quebec won last year. But we had a really good team. Like, I went to the games last year, and I was just blown away by the quality and, like, players like Lisa Marie Woods and, like, just... And now we've loaded up this year. We have even better players this year. So, like, the quality is amazing. So, and I think, who are we playing on Sunday? We're playing Quebec, aren't we? We're playing last year's champions. That's the opener?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's going to be an amazing game. Like, I'm skipping the Champions League game. I'm going to see the W League game, but it would have been better if it was all combined.
Yeah, for sure. So, of course, after that, we're going to play against the San Antonio Scorpions, who have a better record than us.
Yeah, they're fourth. We're sixth. Yeah.
Yeah, if we beat them, we can move ahead to fifth, and if Carolina loses, we can move up, ball up to fourth.
Yeah.
By this time next week.
Well, we can grab, what are we at? We're at 7 points right now. So for 3 wins, we can grab 16 points for the spring season. That should put us in the middle or in the upper half. We could get that fourth place overall if we play really well.
I think that's what they want. I think they want that fourth spot so they can kind of do really well in the fall season and not have to make up ground in the fall season to make that that fourth playoff spot.
Yeah, you watched, Blogsmith, you watched San Antonio last week, right? The FC Edmonton 0-0 game?
I did. I watched it right after the Fury game ended, so it was probably about the second half that I watched.
How did they look? I know that there was no goals scored or anything, but...
They didn't look very good. Edmonton got a red card in the 28th minute, and I think Edmonton at that point was just walking over them, and they just couldn't put it in, and they got an unfortunate red card. I think it was a dangerous kick.
It's not a bad result for FC Edmonton, though, considering they just had that really draining Voyagers Cup game, all that traveling.
3 games in 8 days Edmonton had.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they did really well. So. And they shut down San Antonio.
And that game was in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's good for them. Yeah. So, I don't know who to look out for. Of course, there's Eric Hastley.
Yeah, who's by far their most valuable player. And, I mean, he was a DP at some point, so...
I encourage everyone to wear 2 t-shirts to the game and take one of them off.
And
it's,
also,
it's unfortunate. Sort of,
two identical t-shirts.
It's unfortunate that Jeroen's not going to be in there because the Jeroen-Hasley battle would have been amazing.
That'd be a great boxing match.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were going to win for sure.
Oh, that'd be a war.
But yeah, unfortunately not.
So. And from a Canadian perspective, there's quite a few players with Canadian passports. I think a few have left. Like, there are not as many anymore as we thought at the beginning. But there's Adrian Can, who's a central back.
Who's also a model.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Former TFC captain.
Yeah, former TFC captain. He played on TFC. He's one of the most played players for TFC in their history.
So if you're a diehard TFC supporter, you can come and take a look at Adrian Can's pretty face. He's actually quite a good defender. He's been capped on the Canadian national team. So can't be too hard on him. Actually, I kind of like the guy. I'd take him any day on the Fury. Another player to look out for is Sean Seiko. He's born in Calgary, plays for San Antonio. He was with FC Edmonton. He was one of the early Albertans that they took on. Really proved himself in the league. He's a midfielder, just a little guy at 5'8", still young, 24 years old. We're going to see a lot of him. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually moved up from the NASL someday.
He was one of the guys I wanted to see the Fury sign. That I think he just decided to leave FC Edmonton. I thought he was one of the guys that Fury should have gone after.
Yeah, it would have been great to see him. Mm. Yeah, any other Canadian connections on San Antonio?
Yeah, the Canadian coach, Alan Marcina, is the only Canadian coach in the NASL not coaching in Canada. So there's that.
Wow.
What do we know of him? Like,
he's Canadian and he's the coach.
Thank you for that extra insight there.
That's kind of interesting, though. There's three Canadian-born coaches in the NASL, and there's only 10 teams.
30%.
That's just like CanCon on the radio.
We're taking over.
Yeah. So that game on Saturday is at what time? 7 or 7:30? So
seven
down at Carlton. I highly suggest you check out W League this year. If not, even get season tickets. Like, once you see them play, they're more than worth it. Great team to watch.
Hopefully their scheduling can be fixed.
Yeah.
So it's not direct competition.
Yeah, Algonquin's a nice park though, but I would prefer to see them downtown. Really prefer to see them downtown.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anything else to add about the game on Saturday? Sorry.
No, bring people out. It should be great weather.
It's actually a big game for Ottawa. I mean, if Ottawa win this game, they're going to go by the San Antonio Scorpions, and if Carolina loses, they can make it all the way up to fourth place. And on the other hand, for the Scorpions, if they win, they can go all the way to second place. So it's not a meaningless match. There's quite a few things to play for each team.
Yeah, all points matter. Because the way the NASL set up, they take the spring champion, the fall champion, then they take the top two in points after that, total combined points for the both seasons. So we're not that far off, actually. For expansion team, I think we're doing amazing. Minnesota United, of course, is killing it, top of the table. And the Cosmos right behind them, 3 points behind, and tied with them, the Strikers. So, like, we could get in that fourth spot behind those three teams next week. That's a possibility. We're up there with the royalty of the NHL. So,
be huge.
Yeah, I would be very happy with that if that's where we end up at the end of the season. And it's good to see that it seems like we have found our starting 11. People gel better. It's like, you know, injuries aside, it looks like we know who we're going to play. Like, I don't, you know, with the exception of Jeroen, who will be away with the Palestinian national team, I think it's pretty obvious who we're going to see in Saturday's lineup.
And any chances of Patterson? No, not next week or the week after? No.
I heard he was in training today, but not ready to play.
How about Tommy?
No way.
Tommy, I think, is out for this spring. Patterson, I think, will be out this game. Maybe he'll see time in the Edmonton game. The week after, but
I'm hoping to see more Hamza Elias, depending on how the game's going. Just because he's a joy to watch, and we haven't seen him lately.
So we expect Mykon, right? Taking that fourth role, or maybe
I don't know. Well, he looked a little He came on for the last 2 minutes of the last game, and he looked a little tired. I'm not sure if he's fully fit yet.
Yeah, for the defensive lineup, I'm expecting Becky a central back with Trafford, and then Brzenga on the right, and then the lawyer on the left.
And for our listeners, who's the lawyer?
Kendra?
No, no.
Yeah. No. Every player has to have a nickname. And, who's the hair?
Donatelli.
There.
All right, you're back in the team.
Cool.
All right, so that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back to a regular schedule next week. We'll probably record Sunday night, and hopefully we can tell you guys about another win. Everyone say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
The San Antonio Scorpions. Exterminate the Scorpions. Feel the sting.